Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 23rd of January, 2025. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer checks in momentarily with the news, including more avian influenza here in the Hoosier State, this time in Allen County, and the benefit to you of selecting the right soybean seed treatment. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here too, says it will be cloudy but not as cold as recent days, and the ag markets reversed course to sell off yesterday. We'll have numbers and Tom Fritz market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Another case of high path avian influenza in Indiana and animal activists trying to be your friend. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Another positive test for highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in Indiana, this time in Allen County on a commercial poultry farm. According to the Indiana State Board of Animal Health, the farm produces eggs and has a flock size of more than 26,000 birds. This is the fourth outbreak of HPAI on a commercial poultry farm in the state since January 3rd. It's the first in Allen County. The previous three detections were in Jay County. Now, federal officials do want to remind you that avian influenza does not present a food safety risk and that cooked poultry and eggs and pasteurized dairy products remain safe to eat. You can read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. In a brand new podcast from Hoosier Ag Today, our very own Gary Truitt asks, WTF, or what's threatening farmers? Anti-animal activists are taking a new approach. They want to be your friend. Gary explains.
The days of PETA protesters taking off their clothes to protest fur or leather are over. Emily Ellis with the Animal Ag Alliance says today animal activists are using a more sophisticated approach. They want to be your friend.
Groups like Mercy for Animals, they have a project called the Transformation Project, where essentially they're trying to build relationships and inroads with animal agriculture farmers to transition them away from animal ag into either crop production or some other type of industry entirely.
More on the latest techniques of animal activists at the WTF podcast, available at Hoosier Ag Today and MichiganAgToday.com.
One of the greatest advantages of working with your local farmer-owned cooperative is sharing in its success. Keystone Cooperative is thrilled to announce over $68 million in patronage, all being paid back to our farmer owners after a historic 2024. That's 57% of our profits going directly to the farmers who own us. Unlike private or publicly owned companies, Keystone reinvests in Main Street, not Wall Street. We're proud to return this $68 million to farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Keystone Cooperative Advantage, centered on you.
Getting your soybeans off to a strong start is critical to a good finish. Eric Ott, Field Market Development Specialist with Valent USA, says that choosing the right seed treatment can give you peace of mind.
There's so many things that are out of our control. You know, if we can focus on the things that we can control or manage, like our pest management strategy, starting off with a season-long view and focus right at the beginning with one of your bigger investments of protecting that seed from some of the below-ground pests as well as some of the early season above-ground pests, whether that's insects or diseases. That's very important to get your crop off going early.
That's why he recommends Intego Sweet Soybeans from Valent USA,
which provides protection above ground and below ground of those insect pests, as well as Pythium and Phytophthora diseases and Fusarium, as well as Rhizoctonia. And, you know, one thing that I think gets lost sometimes and we don't always see the symptoms of them, are plant parasitic nematodes such as soybean cyst nematode. And according to plant pathologists and nematologists that study the agronomic effects of soybean cyst nematode, that's one of the biggest pests that can reduce yield. And we have Aveo EZ for that protection as well.
And it'll help fight off pests like bean leaf beetles and seed corn maggots, among others. Learn more by visiting Valent.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
Plenty of clouds around for the day today. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a disturbance trying to come through the Great Lakes. Got some clouds with it. Most of the precipitation has been in Michigan so far. We did have a little bit of light snow and flurry action in northern Indiana already early this morning. But through the day today, clouds are going to be my biggest thing that I'm going to pay attention to. Cold air, yeah, it's here, but we're definitely not as cold as early in the week. This forecast over the next couple of weeks, honestly, is pretty boring. We are devoid of major weather systems. We have a little bit of, this disturbance, that disturbance. Well, for example, what we're seeing today, we'll see that on a couple more occasions, but nothing well organized to come through and bring big moisture. And then temperatures. We're at the boring part of the year on temperatures. It's just cold, and we're dealing with varying degrees of cold. You have the degrees that we had earlier this week where it's just like, oh my gosh, please make it stop. But I think for the balance of this week, we're going to be just close to normal January temperatures. We have a few flash in the pan looks at mild surges as we finish out the weekend to go into next week. They don't really take full control here. And then as we get into late next week, so we're getting ready to flip the calendar from January into February, all of a sudden we have a huge upper level ridge that wants to spread very warm temperatures into our neck of the woods. Does it hold? Time will tell. Now, here's what's going on in this warm air, cold air battle. I think as we move through this weekend, we stay cool, but we see sunshine all the way through thanks to high pressure being analyzed nearby. Monday stays partly sunny as well. Tuesday, a few more clouds around, mostly due to the fact that warm air is trying to move into the cold region of the central and eastern Corn Belt. So that triggers some on again, off again clouds, maybe some early morning fog. That's it for Tuesday. And then we go into Wednesday and we are relatively mild, but a major rainmaker is passing by to the south. Boot Heel of Missouri through the Ohio Valley, Tennessee Valley, and deep south. This is moving farther north than what we were seeing a few days ago, so I am not going to rule out a chance of some rain or wet snow next Wednesday night into Thursday, but at this point I think it stays as south. Now, as that system moves off to the east, we see cold air get drawn down behind it for next Thursday the 30th and Friday the 31st. With the cold air, we probably see clouds and maybe a little bit of lake effect. Temperatures, again, not as cold as what we just got done with, but chilly compared to what we see next Tuesday, Wednesday. And for the flip of the calendar from January into February, to look out. Significant surge of very mild air. It dominates the first, second, and third before a weather system comes out of the plains and could give us a chance of some snow and draw down colder air again. It seems like a cycle. It is. We try and moderate temperatures a little bit, and then Mother Nature tries to remind us of what time of year it really is, and we just sit here and go, come on, make it June already. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
A sell-off across the board. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. And for that, I turned at the end of the session to Tom Fritz in Chicago. Tom, a little bit of back and forth in corn and beans on Wednesday, but mostly lower, and for sure a lower close in corn, beans, and wheat. Are we looking primarily at some overbought markets, or are there other factors at play?
Well, Andy, I think the corn rally, as much as I think the fundamentals justify it, it might be a little bit overdone. Can't help but notice that the bear spreads were working. It wasn't that long ago. Just to give you an example, the March-July spread was into, I want to say, 7.5 cents, and recently it traded out to 12.5 cents. So, when you got a rally like this and the spreads aren't working, how much is this due to just technical considerations? And with that said, there's an attitude, or I should say an adage, that says up on Monday, down on Tuesday. Well, Monday was a day off, so Tuesday was like Monday. So up on Tuesday, down on Wednesday. It's that simple. But it's interesting that yesterday, March corn finished 5.75 cents higher, and today we finished that like amount lower. So all we did was do a little bit of back and forth. But, given the magnitude of the rally and where the rally went to, I think the market's worthy of some backing and filling. Some folks are saying, well, the weather in Argentina is not very good. Well, it's not that bad either. And the forecasts say they're going to have another round of moisture this weekend. And the big time heat that they've been experiencing is a thing of the past. So, I'm thinking that maybe the next round, if corn is going to add another leg up, it's going to have to come from second season Brazilian corn. And a little bit of concern about that right now, just because the harvest on soybeans is it's the slowest that we've seen in 4 years. But, we're 1.5% harvested versus the norm of 6%. We had similar stories like that at soybean planting time. So, long story short, I think the corn market's worthy of a little bit of backing and filling. Soybeans, I think the majority of this rally has been technical in nature. Sure, you can talk about the weather worries out of South America. You can talk about China suspending Brazilian soybean shipments. There's a lot of rhetoric out there as to, why soybeans are rallying. But with a 380 million bushel carryout, and the Brazilians looking at a, close to 170 million bushel soybean crop, guess what? Argentina can afford to lose a few beans. So, I think, a good portion of the recent bean rally has been in response to corn. We know the funds have now net long beans. And usually when they first go from short to long, there's going to be some follow-through buying. But, it seems like the market was almost broke as easy as it rallied. But then again, you look at it, beans, March beans yesterday were 33 cents higher, and today they're 11 cents lower. So we give a little bit back. It's not a big deal. I think the trade will strive to keep the soybean market alive just through smoke and mirrors, if you will. Maybe the Chinese suspending the Brazilian, five Brazilian firms from shipping beans due to sanitary issues, maybe that'll get us a little bit of business. But then again, our new president is saying, well, okay, China, maybe not 60% tariffs. How about a 10% additional tariff? So there's a lot of push-pull going on in the soybean market right now. Soybean oil, not very good price performance over there. Soybean meal, maybe the cold weather's given it a little bit of a plug. We know when it's cold like this, requires better feeding rates. And given the rally in corn, all of a sudden, soybean meal has become price competitive. So, but, you know, given the amount of crushing outfits we've got out there, you know, along with the new ones that have come online, there's no meal shortage. You look at some of the cash prices around the Midwest for soybean meal, and they're almost giving the stuff away. So, you know, I think this this rally in meal is a one-time deal, and I'm viewing the soybean rally as a one-time deal. Soybean oil, you know, I think so much was depending upon the outcome of the blending credits, and last I saw was that the credits that were announced, the soybean oil share, not what the trade was looking for. So, you know, I think the soybean complex maybe have had their hurrah for the time being. Wheat market yesterday was all about short covering, pure and simple. The dollar broke down. We had a decent two-day, three-day break in the dollar. And given, you know, the soybean market rallying 30-some-odd cents, the corn market rallying over the last number of days, and the wheat market's just sitting there. Anybody who didn't want to chase a rally in the bean or corn market, where'd they go? They went to the wheat market. And we saw some technical buying when March wheat went through a few technical points. Same thing held with Kansas City. So, but, you know, here you have the wheat market giving it back today. What was it? Yesterday we saw March Chicago wheat up 20 cents. And here we give back, what, 5 cents today? So that's not a big deal. But I do think the price action that we saw in the wheat market yesterday did signal that the lows are in for the time being. And we may see some backing and filling of that sharp rally. But now the market, I think, is vulnerable to some favorable news, if we can get some favorable news. The lack of news that's been plaguing the wheat market of late, and we're still looking at a lack of news. They tell me overseas prices are flat. The global business, there's not a whole lot there. So the wheat market, worst case scenario, develops into a trading range.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, a nickel down in corn, actually a little more than that. March goes to 484 and a quarter. May dips to 494. Both contracts losing 5 3/4. July down a nickel and a quarter, 495 3/4. March beans, 1056, down 11 1/4. 9 1/2 lower for the May, 1068 1/4. And July, 1078 3/4, 8 1/2 cents off. March wheat, 554, losing 4 3/4. The meats were higher. February live cattle, 200 and a nickel, up $3 even. And February lean hogs, 81.47, up 27. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.